Thank you, Sue. It's nice to see you get excited for Jesus. Going to turn you into a preacher yet. Lord is. Well, be smart with me, woman. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Do not know where the Lord is going to take us on this one, but there is something percolating, so let's just go for it. Verse 1, I'm going to read through this relatively quickly, so keep up here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we get through the intro here, who is Paul writing to but the saints at Rome? Pretty clear, amen? Pardon me. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, the next part that we're going to get into here, oftentimes I've heard preached, and I'm not going to say I've heard preached in this ministry, I've just heard preached. I don't remember where I heard it, but I have heard it. I've heard it preached that this next section is talking about how the world is. I want to challenge that thinking, because I don't think Paul's talking about some great revelation about how the world is. Rather, I think he's talking about how the church in Rome is. And I don't know that me personally, I've ever looked at it from that perspective, but I would ask you to take a look at the church that was in Rome and the Roman church that exists today, and moreover, the church in general that exists today, or that entity that calls itself the church. Because the things that he's speaking of here, even the horrific things he's speaking of, those things that are some of the most unseemly, they have always been a part of the world. They've always been a part of carnal man. They've always been a part of where the carnality and the depraved nature of man has resided. It is nothing new there. The thing that is the shocker, let's just call it, is that this is where the church is at. Now, what you were talking about, Sue, about the gospel, quote unquote, the false gospel, that is the false gospel narrative, I'm listening too much Fox News, that is out there today, is one that preaches a man-centric gospel. You are the center of it, and God exists to serve you because you're so special, you're so wonderful, and that is what they feed you. And let me tell you that that mindset has permeated everything. Everything. And I challenge you to look within yourself, look at your own prayers, look at how you address God, and see if it hasn't somewhat permeated you. How often do you seek the Lord for how you can be of service versus how often are you bossing him around? Sue gave me the motion of a genie in a lamp. Not that far from reality in a lot of ways people express themselves to God. It's a scary thought, isn't it? Because you can think, oh, I know better. Really? If you know better, why don't you do better? And we're going to get to that in a moment, but I'm going to continue reading here. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, this is where I think this is not talking about the world. This is talking about the so-called church. Now, I'm trying to remember a time where Paul goes down and really rails against the world, and I don't find it in any of his other scriptures. If you guys know of any that Paul is just telling the church about how good they are and how bad the world is, if you can find that, let me know. But what I have seen in all of his other writings is that he is addressing the church, that particular body, about their similarities to the world and how they need to knock it off. Or warning guys like Timothy, right? Doesn't he warn Timothy about how the church is going to become or has become lovers of their own selves? Remember that? We get into this stuff, and there's some horrific things mentioned here, but this is not talking about the world. The world has always been evil. This is talking about the church. Where are we? Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolishness, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Has that not happened to the church today? Is not idolatry rampant in the church today? Is the church not looking at every other thing except God, yet claiming to be of God? And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Has not that also happened in the church? Is it not the worship of man now? When we talk about a man-centric so-called doctrine of or gospel that's being preached by the church, isn't that the worship of man? What is it when a church tells you you're so special, you're so wonderful, God needs you? You, man, there's a special place. That is nonsense. That makes you the center. That makes you God. And it makes God your servant. How is that the true gospel? How does that lead to repentance? You know, it's one thing for the world to have the motto, if it feels good, do it. But that same motto has permeated the church, so-called. It's infiltrated and overcome the church, so-called. For this cause, we just read that, let me do it again. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves due recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, we know what that is. And if you have any question about how God feels about it, it's right here. But the church, so-called, has begun to accept such behavior as okay. It's not okay. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So you can't retain God in your knowledge if you never had God in your knowledge, can you? It doesn't. To me, it sounds an awful like some shall depart from the faith. You see where it is? If you want to know the condition of the world, you can see it. If you want to know the condition of the church, it is this. The thing is that there has to be a contrast of the true gospel of God and this ox dung that is being pushed, I'm losing my words here, being pushed out as a doctrine. It's a false doctrine. And what the Lord has called you to be and me to be is the contrast. We are called to walk in the true gospel of God, the true faith, the true demonstration of the power and righteousness of God. To stand as a contrast against this, which is what fills the church today. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiters, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is the state of the modern church. This is not the state of the world, because the world couldn't give two shakes about God. This is about the church. This is about the so-called church, not the world. I want to just drive that home. And the same way we go and we look at Timothy. We see in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we see Paul warning Timothy about the state and nature of the church and those leaders in the church. And it's the same list, is it not? It's the same list. This is the church, so-called. I want to go to chapter 2, because then it gets where rubber meets the road, at least for me and for you. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. See, I can look out, and I bet you can look out and see all that as being absolutely true. Oh, I see how it relates. But are you willing to shine that light back into your own heart and see how you are just as guilty? I wonder. Are you equally excited to take those same measures and apply them to yourself and look at yourself and see, do I really believe God? Do I really love God? My little girl comes to me and tells me, Daddy, I love you. And 9 times out of 10, it's manipulation because she wants something. Because if she loved me, she'd do what I stinking said. not because she's compelled to, but because she loves me. Now, do you do what you know is right to do in the Lord? Because you love him or because you're compelled to? You see, there we go back to obedience versus submission. See, if you submit and you do those things out of love, praise God. But if you're just doing it because you think you have to, guess what? You can still be living in rebellion, yet doing all the things that you think you have to do. Because in your heart, you haven't chosen to love God. It wasn't, but what, two conferences ago? We were challenged with what? You're playing a game. You're playing a game. You're not serving God, you're serving yourself. And you're trying to fool yourself that you're serving God. Let me tell you what. There is a sword coming. There is a sword coming. And guess where it's going to start, people? With you. Because you, by God, know better. There is a sword coming. And it is going to separate those that are going to serve God and those that are not going to serve God. Now, recently we took a look at what happened when the children of Israel stood at that bank and the 12 spies went over. And we saw what happened. How many of that first generation made it? Two. Joshua and Caleb. All the others died in the wilderness. Let me tell you something. There is a first generation in this ministry. And it has lived in a place of unbelief and doubt and rebellion for too long. And the sword is coming by the word of God, I tell you right now. The sword of the Lord is coming. You have had time. You have had an opportunity. And the word of the Lord is saying to you right now, are you going to reject the knowledge of God in your own heart? Because if you are, he will, like these, turn you over to a reprobate mind and be done with you. This world needs to see the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, preached by men and women that love God and that serve God. That is what you are called to walk in. And if you don't want to do it, you will be removed. The Lord has an army that is poised to walk over that Jordan and accomplish that which God has had in waiting in the wings for years and years and years, and has just been waiting for a people that were willing to do it. And he's given time and time and time and more time and yet more time. There is no more time. There's no more time. I tell you right now, the sword of the Lord is coming. Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Repent. Not in some sort of You're not going to pacify God through some worthless act. This has to be from your heart. It has to be in earnest. The other side of the sword is deliverance. Now you can be cut down by it, or you can let it deliver you from where you have been for so many years. Brother Steve has been preaching that it is past time for this ministry to not take a step forward, but a giant, gargantuan leap forward. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have to jump up and down and get any height, first of all, I'm in trouble to begin with. But I am not going to strap on 80 extra pounds and jump up and down and expect to get anywhere. If we're going to accomplish that which God has for us, we have to take a hard look within ourselves and lay aside all of that nonsense that for years, has been the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset. I hear the services and I hear the messages, and they're all good. They're about the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy. This is all absolutely good stuff. But we also see in Scripture where we're supposed to move beyond that, people. We're supposed to move beyond that. We got that. We should have that down already, and we should be walking out in the power and authority and anointing of God. I tell you now, the sword's coming. Get it right with God, or get cut off.